familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com. We are busy, multitasking mamas, and many of us are breastfeeding and pumping for our babies on the go. So what happens when you need some privacy when you're out in public with your baby? Where do you go? Today, we're talking about the importance of lactation rooms and legislation to support it. We're the Boob Group.
I use a breast pump.
I hand express milk for my baby.
I exclusively breastfeed.
I use a nipple shield.
I breastfed after a C-section.
I use a milk bank.
I breastfeed in public whenever I feel like it.
I pump at work.
I breastfeed with a cover.
I breastfeed twins.
I give my baby bottles.
I made my own supplemental nursing system.
I supplement with formula.
I talk to my baby while I breastfeed.
I'm breastfeeding as a survivor of sexual abuse.
When I have extra milk, I share it with other moms.
We are equal.
We are
the Boob Group. Welcome to the Boob Group. We're here to support all moms who want to give their babies breast milk and to respect the choices of moms who want to feed their babies in other ways. I'm Sunny Galt. Thanks so much for listening to us. Do you have an episode idea for us? We've released more than 165 episodes in the last 4 years of producing the show, and that is a lot of topics. But what do you want to know more about? Email us or send us a voicemail through our website. Need even more breastfeeding and pumping information? Then join our Boob Group Club. You'll get bonus content after each episode, plus transcripts from our episodes, and much more. All right, so let's meet everybody that's joining our conversation today. I'll kick things off. I'll tell you a little bit about me. So I'm Sunny, and I'm kind of moderating our conversation today. I have 4 kids, and yeah, let's see. My oldest is 5, a boy, then I have a 4-year-old boy, and then I have twin girls who are 2.5. And as far as lactation rooms are concerned, I have used them out in public. I don't go out in public a lot because I have 4 kids and they're all really young, and that's really crazy. However, I do find them to be very helpful when I'm out in public. So that's a little bit about me. Rachel, tell us about you.
Okay, my name is Rachel Jackson. I am the mother of 2 boys, ages 3 and 5 years old. I've been practicing law for about 16 years and was often traveling for work and struggling with breastfeeding and pumping and trying to find a sanitary place to pump. And I ended up having so many bouts of mastitis and clogged ducts because of it that I started giving up a lot of work because it was just too hard to pump. So I invented a medical device actually for breastfeeding women that helps to treat all those conditions. And then at the same time, I started to become a real advocate for these issues like breastfeeding in the workplace, breastfeeding in airports in a sanitary place that is not a bathroom. And so that's my focus now.
Awesome. I love it when moms like see a need and they create a product like that. Yeah, tell us the name of your website so people can check it out.
Yes, it's rachelsremedy.com, and it's a moist heat or cooling device that helps to increase milk flow. It's great to use before pumping, and it helps to relieve clogged ducts and mastitis, and really good for traveling moms as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, hi, Sunny. Thank you for having me on. I'm Priya Namard. I am a mom of 3. My kids are a little bit older. I have a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, and an 8-year-old. I breastfed and breast pumped for all 3 of them. My youngest, I actually breastfed him for 3 years. And I'm also the co-founder of the Moms Pump Here Nursing Locator app. It's a global nursing locator app that allows women to find places to breastfeed and breast pump. We have thousands of locations in 7 countries. And we just launched our second version this year, allowing women to find places, comfy places and safe places to go to pump and nurse.
Greetings all. My name is Mikael Solage. I am a new mother. I have an 11-month-old son. I'm a pumping mom on the go, and, you know, I like to nurse at home as well. But most importantly, I am a lawmaker in New York State, and I'm advocating for family-friendly policies, which include lactation rooms in airports and in public buildings. I want to make sure that every mom has a place where they can, you know, nurse their child, where they can pump, and it's sanitary, has electrical outlet and a chair.
Awesome. And Rebecca.
Hello. My name is Rebecca Jackson Artis. I'm an actor, a writer, a stand-up comedian. Are you surprised? I'm also a lactation specialist and a doula. And those worlds do collide many times because I have to make women laugh as they learn how to breastfeed. And I'm also a mom. I call myself, I'm a mom of 2.5 children because I was blessed to enter into a marriage with a daughter already. I have a stepdaughter who I consider a daughter. I don't say the word step. She's 14 years old and she gets tired of me constantly telling her the power of the female body and how she better breastfeed my grandbabies. And then I have 2 sons, an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. They probably know more about lactation than most 8- and 6-year-olds because I bring them around with me to functions and community activist meetings. And I primarily work in the African American community. I am a proud African American sister, and I do many community activist events that I head and lead. I'm also right now working on a project with an amazing mental health organization here in Raleigh, North Carolina. What our goal is, we started an organization called Women's Voice. There's a need for African-American women to be acknowledged that we do get postpartum depression, and we get it on top of having to deal with all the other stresses of racism in this world. And so right now I'm working with a program, working with pregnant moms, birth and postpartum moms, and really targeting how we can really serve moms in underserved communities who are in low resource communities and really understand that they are supported and they are advocated for. And that's the work I'm doing.
Awesome, Rebecca. Thanks for being with us today. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with our first segment. Sounds familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com. So before we kick off our episode today, we have a segment called Mama Hacks that we love because it's your opportunity to reach out to us and share your favorite breastfeeding and pumping hacks, which are basically just little tips that you've learned that make the whole process a little more simple for you. And the reason I started this segment is because people were sending us tips and they were really great tips. And I'm like, okay, more people than me have to know about this. And just posting to the Facebook wall was just not cutting it. So this actually comes from Brittany. And so Brittany says, this is her hack. She says, bring a sterilized spill-proof dish with lid to store milk bags. And she's referring to milk bags after they've already been filled up. So after you've pumped. She says, I had a few bags leak in my lunchbox and lost the whole day's milk. Oh, that just breaks my heart right there. Oh. I know, right? Also, she says, if you pump a lot, you can keep the pieces cold and go 2 to 3 sessions before cleaning everything, usually once at lunch and again at the end of the day. It really helps supply to nurse when dropping the baby off with care providers at lunch and then stick around daycare when you arrive to nurse before heading home. She said she has a bunch of tips here. She says, I also ask my sitter to not give bottles within 30 to 45 minutes of my arrival. And I love, especially that last tip. I've heard some of the stuff about, you know, keep the pump parts cold. So that way, you know, it keeps everything more, you know, sanitary and stuff like that. But I love the idea of saying to the babysitter, listen, this is the time I'm planning to be home. And within, you know, if the baby starts to cry or, you know, you think that the baby's hungry within 30 to 45 minutes of me coming home, wait, because I haven't pumped in a while. And there's nothing more frustrating than coming home and your baby's full, right?
Yes. And you want that baby to still want to breastfeed and not become too bottle dependent if that's what your goals are. And so right. If those are your goals, yeah, you make that baby wait a few minutes and there you are full of milk.
So yes.
I agree
yes.
with that.
All right. Well, Brittany, thanks so much for sending this in. If you're listening and you're like, oh, I've got this great hack that I want to share with the Boob Group audience, we would love to hear it. You can go to our website at newmommymedia.com and click the contact link at the bottom if you want to email us. Also through the website, you can send us a voicemail straight through your computer. Don't even have to pick up a phone anymore. You can post it to our Facebook page. There's a lot of different ways you can reach out to us. Hopefully we'll get it and we'll put it on a future episode for you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So today we're talking about the importance of lactation rooms for breastfeeding and pumping mamas while they're out in public. Many times these public locations were created as a result of legislation. So most of the moms joining us today, they've had some experience with creating legislation or supporting legislation in their states. And so we're going to, you know, share their experience as we go along. Mamas, welcome so much to the Boob Group. We're so excited to have you. Let's just dive in and talk about some legislation here. I think that's the easiest way to talk about is something that's currently on the floor in New York. And so, Mikhail, I know that you have introduced a bill and you're also the prime sponsor of a bill. And it's about getting lactation rooms into airports. And this is for, is it for the whole state of New York or is it more like the New York City area? Can you tell us a little bit more about the bill?
So we actually New York seeks to join Illinois and California with this bill that will require all airports to provide a nursing space for breastfeeding moms and pumping mothers behind the security screen area. And we want to make sure that these areas are equipped with a chair, electric outlet, and it's away from public view. And so we are, and I'm proud to say we've passed it in the New York State Assembly. It's moving on to the Senate, and we look forward for the governor to sign this.
Wow. How long does it take? I'm just curious, from start to finish. I mean, if you introduce a bill, I mean, that's a lot of work, right? So how long have you been working on this?
So on average, a bill takes 7 years to pass, you know, to get some, you know, passed through both houses and to be signed by the governor. But, you know, this is such an important topic. And I introduced this bill last year, and we're proving that this is a important topic, and we're getting it done this year. So this bill is just something that I think is a common sense piece of legislation that both sides of the aisle supports, and that's why it's moving so fast through both houses.
That's awesome. Okay, and I know, Rachel, you have experience with this bill as well, you know, helping Mikhail and trying to get the word out there. Tell us a little bit about your involvement.
Yes, actually, I found out about the federal bill, and I knew about Mikhail's bill on the assembly floor, and so I drafted a mirror bill and gave it to Senator Kennedy, New York State Senator Kennedy. And he really ran with it and introduced it to the Senate. And so together with Tim Kennedy, I've been working with him to get approval for that. So I was lobbying in Albany, and that's where I got to meet Mikhail. And spoke with a lot of the assembly members, a lot of the senators, and there was real overwhelming support for it. In fact, so much that the Buffalo-Niagara International Airport constructed a lactation room before they're required to, before the bill passes, because as soon as they found out about it, they wanted to show their support. And so it's already had an effect before it's even passed. I think a lot of the issue with this bill and this entire issue is that there's just a lack of education about the need for it. And I think that's why not enough has been done yet. But when people do find out about all the struggles and the issues and the real health concerns that go along with women having to pump in places like bathrooms that are unsanitary, that people do want to help and they do want conditions to get better.
That's really awesome. Okay, so what would we say here is the overall goal in having legislation that encourages more public places to offer lactation rooms? Are we trying to get, you know, kind of the big fish, if you will, to set precedents and then other people will follow suit? Or do you guys think that really, you know, in order to get more and more public places to offer this, it's going to have to be done through legislation? This is just kind of the start of it. Mikhail, what would you say, what's your take on this, having introduced this bill and kind of seen where things stand now?
I really believe that once we implement and normalize breastfeeding through, you know, public spaces, public areas, it's going to be a domino effect. And it's going to be proof positive that people want to see this. People want this in their communities and people want this in their private businesses. So I think this is just a domino effect.
I believe that too partially, but I also believe that because we already know that the importance of breastfeeding and the health benefits of breastfeeding. And we also know that only 16% of mothers in the U.S. breastfeed pursuant to the American Academy of Pediatrics recommendations of the 6 months exclusive and then up to a year. I think that we need to back up that knowledge with legislation to support it for women because right now it's too hard. And a lot of places still are not moving fast enough to make the accommodations that we need to make mothers and babies healthier. So I definitely think that this legislation is so important. I also believe it will be a domino effect, but that we still need to move and all the other states need to adopt it and federally as well.
Okay. Is it easier, just, you know, kind of a little inside knowledge here about the legislative process, is it easier if something, if a state has already adopted something and brought it into its fold, if you will, is it easier for other states, like as far, you know, can they literally take another bill and pretty much just write their state name on it and be like, yeah, we want this too? Like, is it easier for things to follow suit? Is that how it works?
So it was mentioned before that there's federal legislation. So there's Friendly Airports of Mothers Act that was introduced by Representative Tani Duckworth, and that's basically requiring all federal airports to implement lactation rooms. And so many of the states saw that this was a great idea and went to go implement it in their individual states. And so it's pretty easy, you know, you could just, you know, copy and paste it and apply your state, but sometimes you have to tweak it a little bit. But, you know, every state is looking to implement some of these rules, and we hope that the federal government will be implementing this rule sooner than later.
All right. So I want to get some of the other mamas, you know, involved in the conversation. So I'm thinking, you know, I don't have anything to do with legislation, at least up to this point. I really haven't got my hands dirty in that at all. So I just can speak about this from a mom point of view. And I know when I have gone out and there have been sometimes businesses that, in fact, I was just at church, was it last night? And my church actually has a separate family room and then a separate lactation room. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is the coolest thing ever.
That's awesome.
I was so proud of my church last night. But there's other places, right? There's private businesses, and sometimes you see this in the public as well. And so I know it motivates me, because I'm still breastfeeding my twins. I know it motivates me to want to support them, like, because I feel like they're on my team, so to speak. If they're going to stick their neck out there, so, you know, in a little bit, in a way, I feel like closer to them, and I kind of want to support them a little bit more. But Priya, let's get your take on this a little bit. You know, I know you're not breastfeeding or pumping now, so you couldn't have benefited from all the stuff that's happening right now in the legislation. But what is your take? And I know you've probably heard from moms too that are on the app and, you know, they're reporting in and telling you about, you know, these different types of lactation rooms so other moms can find out about them. So what's your take on all of this?
I 100% support Mickey's legislation. I think this is a very important move for women and for the country. And, you know, we're so far behind from other countries. So this is just, this is awesome that we're doing this. And that's another topic, right?
Yeah,
right, it is.
But coming from my standpoint, you know, I did have problems when I was breastfeeding and breast pumping and finding comfy places to go. I had to pump in my office way back when. So it was important for us to start the Nursing Room Locator app because we didn't want women to fall into the same same situation as we did, you know, having to pump or to breastfeed in the bathroom. Because if you're not going to eat in a bathroom, prepare a meal, why should a nursing mom, basically? And I know that's come up a lot. I think it's kind of funny that, you know, we have to implement the legislation. It's very important. And we have to make sure that there's more support behind breastfeeding moms and breast pumping moms. But there are so many nursing room locations around the country and outside of the country. I mean, we have lactation rooms in 7 countries. So we have, it's from retail stores, airports, we have churches listed. So Sunny, you're more than welcome to submit your church.
I have to add my church.
Yes.
Add your church and I'll post it and I'll share it with the moms so they know it's available. We have hospitals, we have stadiums, parks, we have doctor's offices, tons of different places moms can go. And we also have ratings and reviews. So moms can talk about what's available in those spaces. So you won't always have like the high-end nursing room location that has tons of things in there, like a fridge and an outlet, you know, privacy and all that stuff. But you might have a place that is semi-private and, you know, has a one little chair for you to use and you can go to and use it. But you need to let moms know what's available for them, you know. But there are tons of different places around the country that are breastfeeding friendly. And I, again, it's all about awareness and telling moms that these resources are available for them.
Okay, so when we come back, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into these lactation rooms. We're going to talk about some of the possible concerns. We've been mentioning the benefits, and I think all the mamas listening now probably even understood most of the benefits before we started talking today. But I do want to address some of the possible concerns with this, such as not normalizing breastfeeding because it's being done behind closed doors. So we're going to talk about that when we come back.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay, welcome back. We're continuing our discussion about lactation rooms and mainly rooms in public places. And we've been talking a lot about the benefits and the legislation. I do want to address some of the concerns that moms may have, that advocates of breastfeeding may have. And then, you know, I know, Rebecca, that you have some concerns with this. So tell me a little bit about that.
I might get a little controversial. That's me. and you laugh, Sunny, because you know me.
That's right.
I love myself. Anyway, so here's the deal. For pumping at work, and maybe it's because, let me just tell a little bit of my personal story, and I might get a little touchy, but I was molested as a child. So growing up, I wanted to shun my body. I wanted to cover my body constantly. If you mention anything about body parts or breast or whatever, I would flinch. It was a scary thing. So when I gave birth, I had to really delve deep into my soul to allow like these people to look at certain parts of my body. And then after giving birth, I have to say naturally, I was handed this baby and told I had to put this baby to my breast, which I totally was mentally prepared for, like on a level of like, oh yeah, like cause I was all holistic and we were all earthy and artistic. And I was like, oh, yeah. But what I didn't understand is right when I put my baby to my breast, I had to let go and deal with and face all the trauma that I dealt with from years of facing what I faced as a child. And I had no concept of what that took, you know. So I had to get deep. I had to get spiritual. I had to get all sorts of things. And the first 6 weeks of me breastfeeding my first son was so emotional for me, because I had to deal with a lot of things. And I'm saying all this because once I got over that, nursing in public was empowering beyond imagination. I had no idea breastfeeding can become like spiritual, you know, and it became that. So I got to the point where I was like, I'm pumping in your face. I'm pumped. I'm nursing in your face. I don't care. I'm nursing in church. I'm nursing in the hospital. I'm nursing whatever. And if you have anything to say about it, we can have a conversation and I'm going to school you. And I did. And my husband sometimes would tell me, I became this like breastfeeding, like bear, you know, because I think I was so happy that I had forgiven myself for all those years. And I say all that to say that when I did work and I pumping at work, I only went in a room because I knew other people had issues, but I could pump at my desk, whatever. And then I also there was one time in the 5 years that I breastfed, because I breastfed both my sons 2.5 years each. And there was one time when I was at my in-laws' family's gathering in Virginia, and I was told, could I go upstairs to a room to breastfeed my son? And I remember thinking, like, excuse you? No. And so at that point, I realized it was other people that had a problem. I didn't have the problem. I was doing what I was naturally built and made to do. So I have a little issue with lactation rooms. I don't have, and I want to stress this, I don't have the issue when it comes to work, and the sound of a pump can be really irritating to some people. But I have an issue when we're out here in the world and we have a mom and we tell her she needs to go into a room and then she has to breastfeed in there. And then we have a problem with normalizing breastfeeding. It's time to normalize it. If we're going to normalize it, let's do some education in schools. Let's do some education in communities, and let's empower women, because now I deal with a bunch of women who I have to literally debunk myths and help them reconnect through socially the normalcy of breastfeeding.
The lactation room issue, I know you said that you have a problem with it, but it's not just about women going in and nursing privately, even though some women do prefer to do that. And it is not necessarily because of what other people are thinking. It's because they are more comfortable, the baby's more comfortable in a quiet room. And I know my babies, if I was just out in the airport nursing, they'd be looking everywhere. My nipple would be like on fire of how many times they ripped off looking around. And so a private room was important for me, not because I was worried about what people were thinking, but because breastfeeding was a lot easier for me that way. But in terms of pumping, and I'm a very public person, there could be a camera on me right now, I don't care. But pumping was the one thing I would never, like, I'd rather go to the bathroom in public than pump in public. It was so, I really didn't want anyone to see it. I just wanted to be alone. It was a very private thing for me. And I know a lot of women feel that way too, that they would rather not be seen pumping. And so it's really important to provide that.
Yeah, and that's what I said. I stressed the fact for pumping, it makes sense.
Right.
And I'm going to stress that. For pumping, it makes sense. And I hear what you're saying about some women and some babies. And first of all, my sons were the biggest distracted son, and they're still, like, to get my 8-year-old to focus in his class, his teacher's constantly telling me, you know, he drifts. And I'm like, well, his mother is an imaginative person too. You know, my sons are people watchers, and they've been like that since the beginning. But again, and I hear what you're saying, but what I'm getting a little deeper with it. I deal with women who are in their 40s who've never seen a woman breastfeed. I'm working with women who the concept of putting a baby to the breast is completely out of imagination, because we have grown women who have never, ever seen another woman breastfeed. And I'm going to be honest, and we all can admit, we've walked past rooms many times, and we've subconsciously read what's on the room, but it's never sunk in until somebody stops you and go, that's a lactation room. That's where women breastfeed. And you go, oh, I get it. So I feel like, yes, there is a positive to these lactation rooms. And again, if you feel empowered that you rather go in the room, that's great. But again, we have to understand, this is not the pill. This is a Band-Aid. This is not a way to solve and heal the wound.
It is a way to solve and heal the wound of women traveling that quit breastfeeding because there's nowhere sanitary to pump. So it is much more than a Band-Aid. I disagree with you there.
And I'm gonna stress that. I said pumping, I get it. I'm talking about putting a baby to the breast.
I mean, yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I absolutely believe in normalizing breastfeeding. I think that women should be able to breastfeed wherever they want, absolutely. And I also believe that if that includes going into a private room, that that's okay, too, that we just have to respect, you know, what people are most comfortable with.
I also wonder, too, just like what happened to me at church last night where I saw the, you know, the sign lactation or whatever it said. And I was like, I just wonder if even having some of these rooms is going to start conversation because people are going to be walking by and seeing something that they haven't seen before. You know, I've seen some photos of some pretty amazing lactation facilities at like a baseball stadium. I can't remember who even did this recently, but Cincinnati. Yeah, my home state. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it was amazing. And from that standpoint, I'm like, wow, I want to go to this game just to go and breastfeed in the room or pump or whatever you want to do. So I often wonder if that will help a little bit too, and just, you know, kind of getting the word out there.
But it could also do the opposite, because I'm going to call some people in my family out, which I'm sure hopefully they'll never listen to this. But I have some people in my family, they feel like you need to be in a room locked up. And they will say that to the end, and they will applaud these lactation rooms because they'll say, I don't want to see no woman with no baby at her breast. And they are adamant. So to get my, I mean, I had to work through deep years of trauma with my family to just sit in a room while they played scattergories or while they played taboo, because I wanted to play too. And I wanted to sit there while I nursed and play taboo. And luckily, through years, and now I have cousins who now have babies, and luckily I have normalized breastfeeding with my family. I did that. And I have now my family, some relatives, they'll kind of squint, but they go, you know what, Becky, you're right. But it took me to say, no, I'm not going in that room, and I'm not going to be shunned, because I want to be a part of this family too. And I want my sons and what I'm doing, there's nothing wrong with it.
Rebecca, you're totally right. And I might, you know, implement some legislation to require breastfeeding education in schools, especially for high school, maybe for college students. We'll see what we can do.
I don't even think the Affordable Care Act supports teachers.
No.
I don't think it does. There's a clause in there that doesn't support teachers.
Yeah, no. Teachers are not supporting me. And I know this because my husband is an academic administrator here in North Carolina, and he was also an academic administrator at Chicago Public Schools. And that was something I was working in Chicago Public Schools, is because in health education, we teach about sex, we teach about STIs, we teach about all these other public health issues, but we don't teach, and we tell them to walk around with a flour sack, you know, but we don't tell them how to nourish their babies. We don't tell these young women how to empower that, oh, this is why you have breasts. This is the only reason you have breasts. And so I pushed and pushed for that curriculum to be involved. And of course, there was a little apprehension. And of course, we all know Chicago Public Schools have other issues. So that was something that was not on their prime list.
Your point of view is so important, Rebecca. And, you know, from a business standpoint, from a company that shares information about the lactation rooms that are available, we were very conscious of the message when we started. It wasn't about, you know, covering up your breasts when you breastfeed. It was more about safety and comfort and just basically being comfortable and not sitting on the toilet. But when we started, we had so many moms, we had like a focus group and things like that. We wanted to make sure that we were telling women to breastfeed wherever they chose to. And we're constantly putting that message out there on our social media, on our website, to let women know you can breastfeed anywhere you choose without harassment or discrimination, because it's your natural right and your federal right. So I think it's also, you know, it's important that we educate each other, but companies that, like my own, that support nursing moms and breast pumping moms, that they advocate for breastfeeding in public. And I think the messaging is so important. And your story, I love your story. You know, maybe there should be more moms sharing stories just like yours to let people know that, you know, it's okay. I remember breastfeeding my son in the hospital, my male cousin walking in, and I flinched for a second, and he just stood there and looked at me, and I was like, you know what? So what? You can stare at me all you want. I don't care. We grew up together. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. And I'm going to be even deeper here. Breastfeeding allowed me to forgive my molester.
Wow.
Because I realized that I was allowing that person to control my life. And once I was empowered through breastfeeding in public and stopped shaming my body, I realized that was a story that I was allowing to control my life, and now I had a new chapter.
That's so incredible.
But again, I'm not the only one. I deal with women every day. You know, and we have to talk about this, is when we start talking about covering or even going into, and I hear what you're saying. I totally get it. And I've worked with those women. They're like, Rebecca, I love you, but I ain't nursing in public. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But I want them to say, at least when the only time when we grow is when we're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And we all, I mean, you could, whatever spiritual person that you go to, they'll tell you that the only time, not only an individual, but a community grows is when they're forced with dealing with conflict and being uncomfortable. And so I hear what you, and I applaud you guys for doing this. This is amazing what you're doing. You are taking it a step further where some people who are observant will look by and go, lactation room. Let me look that up on my smartphone. And they'll stop, you know, and it might be an 18-year-old boy that goes, what? And then he will grow up to advocate for his significant other to breastfeed. So that's great. But again, we have to understand this is just one aspect of a much layered issue.
Absolutely. Agree with you.
But just speaking to legislation, you know, I've been to airports and, you know, sometimes these airports aren't sanitary, you know, when there's flight delays or if, you know, the flight doesn't go off and, you know, there's massive delays, you know, everyone is everywhere. And so just having a place where you can go and nurse and, you know, you don't have to worry about, you know, that little boy running up to you trying to, you know, find out what you're doing or worrying about that, you know, gentleman in the corner looking at you, peeking, trying to, you know, I don't know, do some scrupulous stuff, you know, lactation room provides kind of some release for mothers and also a social scene for me. It was a social scene, being able to sit down with a group of mothers, chat it up, having conversations and enjoying the company while we wait for our flight. I think to me was just really awesome.
And supplying a place to sit, because a lot of those times I've been in JFK so many times standing.
There's no place to go.
Right, exactly.
Like overnights, I mean, I'm sure you guys have experienced this too, but your flight gets canceled. I don't think I've ever been a breastfeeding mom in that situation. I don't think I had kids yet, but I remember spending the night at airports. What do? I mean, there's so much care that your baby needs, like overnight and stuff.
Well, some hotels, like the Hard Rock in Chicago, they give moms breast pumps. If you go up to the desk and you say, I'm a nursing mom. Yeah, it's on our app.
It's on your app?
Yeah, the Hard Rock in Chicago.
That's amazing.
Provide nursing moms with breast pumps.
Hopefully they're multi-user pumps. Okay, good. Okay.
They're all hotels, not everyone. And I'm actually talking to the W right now, so I'm hoping that it becomes more widely accepted from these hotels for traveling
moms.
That
is amazing. Yeah.
I know, right?
I was that traveling mother. And dealt with, I mean, I will never forget this, actually, this example. I was traveling with my breast pump and I was, my flight was delayed. So when you fly and you're pumping, it is such a timed, everything has to be perfect for it to work right, because you pump in time for you to get on the flight and not miss your flight. It's just, and then if it's delayed, you're like, oh my God, there are so many parts to it that make it so awful, you know. But the worst was, I will never forget this. I had to go in, I had to pump in the bathroom in a stall with the cord coming out, just barely fitting into the electrical outlet. And, you know, and it was so loud and I'm like crouched over a toilet. It was just so gross. And then I always would throw away that precious milk because it's just not sanitary. You know, it's just disgusting. So, and there's no way to hold the pump and get everything on. So everything's touching the bathroom floor or whatever. And I was reading in the Buffalo News, one of the writers wrote an editorial about how women who are breastfeeding should never breastfeed in public and that they should breastfeed.
What?
Oh, yeah. In the bathrooms. On a changing table.
What? She wants to get cut.
Oh, I know.
She wants to get cut. No, seriously, let me tell you, I'm from Chicago and she wants to get cut. So, yeah, I want to know her name and I want to know her social security number because we got to find her.
Before we're done here, I'm going to Google it. But I was reading that, I was so angry. So then I wrote a response that didn't get published, but there were like 50 million attack responses. And he made this horrible fake apology that he was sorry that people were offended or something like that by his editorial.
Surface apologies.
Yeah, it was so pivotal for me that I was like, oh my God, I am going to take this on because people don't understand. They just don't get it. Like, this guy doesn't even know what a changing table is.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, there, you know, there's just, it all goes back to the whole education thing. I mean, people just mm-hmm. don't know that it's a problem and they need to be educated about it. And then they will be so much more likely to be supportive of legislation like this, of women breastfeeding in public and whatever. I mean, it's just a matter of education. And so the benefits are huge because so many women quit breastfeeding because traveling is so hard, because pumping at work is so hard. We're the biggest numbers of women going back to the workforce are the biggest numbers of people going back to the workforce. And so many of those women quit nursing before their goals because it's too hard. So legislation like this can help women breastfeed longer, but not only that, there are huge economic impacts to this.
Yes.
Because the journal Pediatrics came out with a study showing that if 90% of women followed the guidelines, that the U.S. could save $13 billion annually in healthcare and related costs to the baby alone, not even just the mother, just the baby.
That's crazy.
And there are other academic benefits as well, and budgeting in schools too.
Yes.
That if we all breastfed our babies according to the WHO or even American Academy of Pediatrics, the benefits to just societal uplifting society would be huge, and academics and social justice causes and other things. So that's important.
It's a rippling effect when it comes to legislation and implementing policies that are family friendly, like paid family leave and so forth and so on. It's just all about making sure that women and families are represented in state houses. So definitely this conversation that we are having is so important.
Okay, so to wrap up our conversation, because we've been chatting a lot today, let's talk about what can moms do that are listening. How do we take this a step further? If we want to have more of these facilities in public places, what do we do? Mikhail, what would you say to the mom, you know, that isn't in the New York area, that maybe, you know, located somewhere else, that wants this in her community as well?
I would definitely say to contact your state representatives, also contact your federal representatives, even your local representatives. Just contact any elected official and say that we want lactation rooms in a particular area, such as airport or in public spaces.
Now, your legislation, does it have a name? Can they be like, hey, I know this is going on in New York. Can you look this up? Because I think this is a really good idea for our area. I mean, what's it called if they were to do that?
Airport Lactation Room Act. Very simple. Or just say that we want lactation rooms in airports, and please sign on to any legislation pertaining to lactation rooms. Very simple. You don't have to be articulate. You don't have to pull out a law or legalese book and say, hey, you know, this is what it is. No, just simply say, I want this, and please act upon that.
Yeah, we need a place to pump. We need a place to nurse that is not a bathroom, that's sanitary, that has running water. And I have a feeling Mikhail is going to be introducing a lot more legislation that's going to help.
Yes, thank you, Rebecca, for the ideas.
Oh, you're welcome. And can I get paid for it? Because you know I charge $250 an hour.
I got to go. Bye.
No. I know, right? All right, mamas. Well, thanks so much for everyone being part of our show today. If you're a member of the Boob Group Club, then please be sure to check out our bonus content for this episode. We're going to chat a little bit more about this legislation we've been talking about getting lactation rooms in airports. So for more information about our club, visit the members section on our website. Okay, so in closing out our episode today, we have a question for one of our experts, and this comes from Haley Dawson, and Haley wrote this to us. She says, hi there, can you please give me some advice? I'm really having difficulty in getting my 10-week-old to take a bottle. Up until recently, she has only had a bottle on rare occasions when I've had to go out alone, and she has taken it without much protest, even with formula when I hadn't had any milk expressed. But all of a sudden, after a break of a couple of weeks, she's refused to take a bottle at all. We've tried different bottles and teats, and we've been using express milk at body temperature, but she just screams and spits everything out. I'm getting really worried, as there are some days I'm going to have to leave her with daddy, and he gets really stressed out. You know, she just won't have it. She gets upset. I'm going back to work in a couple of months, and she's going to the nursery, so she's going to have to be taking a bottle by then. Do you have any ideas on what we should try? Thank you, Haley.
Hi, Haley. This is Michelle Stolberger from Metropolitan Breastfeeding. I'm an IBCLC located in the Washington, D.C. area. First off, it would be a good idea just to check and make sure that you aren't having issues with lipase in your milk, which can cause the milk to taste soapy. You can also smell a soapy smell. This can happen both with freshly expressed milk as well as thawed milk, so just check it each time you pump to be sure. Next, try and change up the baby's routine. Give the bottle while she's in her car seat, walk and bounce her slightly while giving her the bottle, or even try using a small cup or spoon to try something different. I know this is frustrating, but just try and stay calm. Lastly, reach out to a qualified lactation consultant to get in-person help. Good luck!
All right, that wraps up our show for today. Thanks so much for listening to The Boob Group. Don't forget to check out our sister show, Preggy Pals, for expecting parents, Newbies for newly postpartum moms, Parent Savers for moms and dads with toddlers, and Twin Talks for parents of multiples. This is The Boob Group, where moms know breast.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating healthcare problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified healthcare provider.
How would you like to have your own show on the New Mommy Media Network? We're expanding our lineup and looking for great content. If you're a business or organization interested in learning more about our co-branded podcasts, visit our website at newmommymedia.com. Hey, mamas. Don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.